This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Haroon
like
Chambel.
Pearls hidden deep beneath the dark stream of desires. But like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Haroon Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have with us Brother Basil, who's been a Muslim of some 18 years, so he's a vet in the game. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Brother Basil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
How you feeling today, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You ready for us to pick and pry at your brain stem today?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll let you go a little bit into me.
All right then, man. I'd like to ask you our first question. I'd like to ask you and basically give us a quick summary why it is you chose Islam. We're going to get to the how in detail, but I want to know why you chose Islam.
Well, I was at a time in my life where, you know, growing up in this country, I was searching for my purpose. And in this country, they have your purpose thinking that you should be somebody high in society, or you should grow up to be wealthy, and the best job to choose is the president. So I was having difficulties, you know, in my life, which way I wanted to choose, and it had this pressure on me to be somebody successful.
Right.
And I read this book towards understanding Islam, and I found that my only purpose was to serve God.
Subhanallah.
And then that did it for me.
Alhamdulillah.
That did it for me. And that right there, I was searching for my purpose in life, and that right there did it for me.
Alhamdulillah. All right, well, let's get into this a little bit more detail. I want to ask you now, looking back and the things that led up to you embracing Islam, what was your upbringing like? Like, what kind of background did you
have?
Well,
I was a hardcore Christian.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy roller?
Holy roller.
You're doing your thing, huh?
Well, actually, I wasn't real hardcore. Actually, I grew up, you know, in a Christian family, went to church, ushered, sung in the choir, all that sinful stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, and okay. And I never really, you know, I thought I was in a spiritual family until I embraced Islam and found that, you know, that I wasn't, you know.
Subhanallah. So, growing up as a Christian, did you have, like, were there things that you questioned about your faith?
Well, no, I never questioned nothing because I had nothing to compare it to.
Right. You just were like, you were happy, you were...
I knew about Jehovah Witnesses. They used to, you know, come. I used to compare it with Jehovah Witnesses and Catholics, and really, I wasn't really into comparing it. You know, I was just
happy doing your thing.
Lead, blind following.
Right.
Know, that's all I was doing. You know, your mama say you ain't going outside if you don't go to church.
Yeah.
So I had to go to church so I could go outside and play.
So, what other kind of influences did you have growing up in your life outside of the church?
Well,
that you think kind of helped shape your, Yanni, the type of person that you were becoming?
Well, athletics, really. You know, coaches.
Okay.
You know, through sports helped shape me up in life. You know, it taught me how to do everything in life. So I had a lot of coaches that, you know, like my Little League coach, Mr. Coleman, my high school coach, Sam Taylor, my baseball coach, Lenny Ferrello, you know, my college coach, Frank Grant. You know, I had these type of people that I looked up to, you know, that, you know, taught me life skills and stuff like that, you know, because that's where I excelled at. I excelled on the, in athletics and sports.
Okay. So with that, you felt like athletics gave you a nice base and discipline and things like that.
Right. I thought I was going to go to the NFL or the major leagues.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What position did you play in football?
I played receiver.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did you play in baseball?
Baseball, I played second base.
All right. We got a little Bo Jackson with us on the phone here, huh?
Yeah, I did a little bit of everything.
Bo don't know Basile, right? Doesn't have That's nothing
right.
on you,
Bo
right?
Bo don't know Basile. Actually, Bo don't know Islam. That's what shortened Bo up.
Subhanallah. All right, man. So, in continuing, do you feel like going into this that, like, what you were mentioning in the first statements you made about, you know, struggling with wanting to be successful and like what, how you defined what success was in that. Were you pretty much banking on athletics to get you that quote unquote success?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, I was on the verge of, you know, becoming an athlete, you know. I wanted to be this professional athlete because I felt that this, you know, people looked up to them. This is what, you know, because growing up in this country, you know, they have you looking for the dunya.
Right.
You know, this is the success. How much dunya you have is how successful you are.
Right.
So this is what, you know, this is the pressure that's on the society today and on a lot of young kids, you know,
right,
trying to chase this dunya.
Right.
Which is a mirage.
Right,
know?
Right.
And it wasn't until I became Muslim to find out that all these years was wasted, you know,
uh-huh,
and went to naught. And I look at even professional athletes today, even, you know, kids look up to them, but what is it going to benefit them in the end? They're going to go through their career, people looking up to them, they're getting all this money, and then they never worship Allah.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I was happy that, you know, I didn't, you know, complete that thing because I, you know, I was happy that Allah chose me to come back to this deen, you know, and get on the straight path.
So what was it the fact that you embraced Islam that made you go in a different direction, or was there something else that kind of got that put a wrench in the works, so to speak?
No, it was Islam.
Really? So you basically just like said, forget it with athletics after that?
Even college.
Really?
Yes.
Subhanallah.
Everything, man. It felt like when I found this, it was like opening Pandora's box, as they say in the dunya. You know, it was a new world for me.
Initially, like, what was your reaction? You know, so when you read this book, Towards Understanding Islam.
Well, let me tell you the story. Actually, what happened, I had this Muslim friend named Aquil.
Right.
And Aquil was telling me, you know, you're a Christian. And I was telling him, yeah, I'm a Christian. So he told me that, well, Christians pray to Jesus. He was trying to get into a debate with me.
Right.
So I said, no, I'm a Christian, but I don't pray to Jesus. But then he said, well, then you're not a true Christian. And then I said,
he threw a curveball at you and confused you, right?
Yeah, he threw a curveball at me. He, you know, he was trying to give me some dawah.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I said, no, I am a Christian. I just don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right.
You know, so he said, well, we asked this preacher. So the preacher told me then, he said, if you don't accept Jesus, astaghfirullah, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then you're not a true Christian.
Right.
And then I say, well, then maybe I'm not a true Christian.
Subhanallah.
And then I had a guy, another friend, who a Muslim had gave this book Towards Understanding Islam.
Right.
And so I said, what's the name of that book? He said, oh, some Muslim gave me this book and threw it at me.
Subhanallah.
You know, like, man, you know, like he didn't want to read it. So I said, well, let me check it out. So I was in my room and I was reading this book. And when I got to this part about my purpose, because this was my whole thing, I was searching for my purpose.
Right.
And it said, your only purpose is to serve God, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I jumped up and down and like saying, oh, man, all this time I was looking for material things. All this time I was looking to be successful and looking up to the people when all the thing I need to be doing is serving God.
SubhanAllah.
I went to the, in Petersburg, Virginia, I went to a khutbah. A brother was giving a khutbah.
Right.
I went to the khutbah, Masjid Muhajirin.
Right.
And I heard it, the brother didn't really say nothing to affect me or nothing. But I went there just to see how it is, how they do, how they pray.
And
then the next week I went
yeah.
back and took my shahada.
MashaAllah. It was just like that.
Just like that.
Alhamdulillah. All right, man, hold that thought. We're going to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back from Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Basil in our first segment. We're going to continue where we left off. It's interesting to me in situations such as yours how rapidly, you know, just a morsel of information and knowledge, you know, sparked a quick change in your direction, you know? And I think, like, what I want to kind of start out this segment on and maybe kind of make as a theme is, like, the aspect of kind of where we finished off, where you were talking about serving God. And I'd like to maybe kind of elaborate on that more. So when you read this part of the book, Towards Understanding Islam, and it was talking about the purpose of, you know, of your creation and of life is to serve God, How did you really articulate that in the detail?
Well, one thing, what I did was, I was, like, I felt I always was a spiritual person, you know?
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was searching for the truth, you know, for something that could benefit me, you know, in life.
Right.
And actually, I never, that one little paragraph did it for me because I never finished the book to today.
SubhanAllah.
You know, and actually, if you ask people, and this is how I give da'wah, you know, I ask people, you know, what's their purpose in life, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, oh, to be successful, to be happy, to be rich, you know, they name all dunya.
Yeah.
You know, they never say nothing, no, it's to get the Jannah or to please Allah. You know, they never say things like that.
Yeah.
You know, so actually that was what did it for me, because that's what I was searching for, my purpose in life, my reason for being here.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it only took that for me.
It's interesting. My father-in-law a while ago, you know, kind of coined this phrase to me that he uses a lot. And he was saying to me that when it comes to, like, the worldly life, he said that it's something that we should hold in our hands and not in our hearts. And, you know, and it just made me think about this, you know, when it sparked this thought in my mind as we're talking, that that so much of the world and the direction that people are going in, regardless of what religion that people call themselves, Muslims, Jews, Christians, whatever, right?
Right.
So many people today are focused so much on the apparent, you know, and the seen, that this is, it's a very subtle trick, you know, that either that we're playing, our subconscious is playing on us, or the, you know, the shaitan is playing on us, or our lower desires, or whatever it may be. But it's a very subtle trick that we slowly but surely fall into the pit, you know, and get caught up in the net with, in that we get sucked into the worldly side of things. And it's like we forget the balance of understanding what the purpose of the world is, you know?
No, no.
And I remember I read there was a saying of one of the companions, right? And of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And he said that that he actually loved the dunya. And so some of the other, you know, companions were like shocked. And he was like, what are you talking about? You love the worldly life. We're supposed to be living for the hereafter. And he said, I love this life because this is the field for which I have a chance to harvest, you know, my crop for the hereafter. You know?
Yeah.
And so the way that he was looking at it, and I think the proper perspective that I think a lot of us have gotten away from, is looking at whatever it is in the worldly life that we're able to do as being a means for us to get good deeds. You know what I mean? And
right.
to keep working on that, you know, getting the good deeds and all of those things and getting blessings and, you know, barakah and all of these things. We don't think about that. And so what has happened is it's like people go to opposite extremes. It's like
right.
a person gets the impression that to be like a practicing Muslim, it means that you have to be kind of like a hermit in the masjid all the time, and you have to be reading Quran and making dhikr and this, that, and the other. And the other extreme is like for people on the other side where they're like, they want to be successful in the worldly sense. They're like, oh, well, in order for me to be successful, I got to be all up in this.
Right.
And I can't be about God.
They can't take the middle path.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the deep thing about it is everything that we deal with in Islam is based upon Din al-Wasata, which is translated as meaning the religion of the middle way, which
right.
is what Islam is defined as. One of the many definitions of Islam is the middle way. It's like
right.
it, where it takes both things and it gives it a balance, you know, and it's really deep. It's interesting how in just a matter of reading a few paragraphs that Allah pricked your heart. You know, to the point where you even finished the book. You were just like, I got what I needed. I'm out.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and change directions, man. I got to shift gears.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, man.
Yeah.
So in terms of this now, in what ways, practically speaking, now are you serving God?
Well, first, I want to back up on something you were saying about people taking extremes and
yeah.
people choosing the dunya.
Yeah.
I think it was a man approached Abu Qasim, and he said, how come people hate to die?
Right.
You know, and because he said, because they build their dunya and destroy their akhirah.
Mm.
You know, and so that's what people do. They build their dunya and they forget about their akhirah.
Yeah.
So they hold on and they cling on to this world and don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know, as the believer, just like you said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used this to build his akhirah.
Yeah.
You know, he built this hereafter.
And,
you know, and this is what we should do.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing now
yeah.
is I use all the things that I use and the tools that Allah provided me to come to Islam
mm.
to give da'wah. Like, I know that for me it was my purpose, so I ask people, what's your purpose in life?
Right.
And maybe that can hit it for them like it hit it for me. And then plus, since I was good in sports, I use sports to give da'wah.
Mm.
And I run this program called Stars in the Muslim Sports Club, and we have had a lot of children, youth, become Muslim by just playing sports and by teaching them the tarbiyah of Islam, you know, the proper adab and etiquettes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that this is what they want. They want to be like this, and this is good. And then they find out, what is this? And they find out that I'm Muslim, and these are the teachings. And then they become Muslim, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
You know? So this is what I'm doing. I'm, you know, running a sports program for Muslims and non-Muslims. And you know, giving da'wah. And actually, can I say something on the air? I guess
you can get a plug.
Yeah, we've taken a trip to Strasburg, Virginia. We're taking all the Muslim kids to go paintballing.
MashaAllah.
This Thursday, inshallah, from Adams, Dar Hijra, Al Huda, and ICM.
MashaAllah.
So I'm still active with the youth and sports and programs and stuff.
And then are you still competing with them on an even level, or are they starting to run game on
you? Yeah, that's one thing. These youth, they're not as fit as I am.
See, you're letting that wisdom and
you
the athletic ability
like,
kick
like,
in, right?
I think you used to be a teacher, right?
Yeah.
And you know how you used to go out there and hurt them? So, and I remember that, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't bring that up.
About the sports?
Yeah, about sports. Used to go out there and hurt the kids, you know. They can't compete yet. And this is another thing that in our community, you know, in the Muslim community, they think we're supposed to just be in the masjid, learn the Quran,
yeah.
Learning how to act as a Muslim. But we forget the physical part, to stay in shape, you know, of learning all the sports that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of, you know, archery, swimming, and horseback riding, and things, and wrestling.
Right.
You know, these are the things that our kids need to do because they need to, you know, physically, you have to be physically in shape to be mentally in shape
yep.
as well.
Yep. You know? We're going to step away for a minute for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years. But how many hearts are closed to the wonders of this sight?
Welcome back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. So in our last segment with Brother Basil, we're going to wrap up with a few probing questions to continue with this mind-boggling display. I'd like to start kind of by, I think, kind of touching on something that you had mentioned just before the break in terms of the kids, like, athletically not really, you know, being able to compete on certain levels. And maybe this is something that I think can translate, and this is something that I also, like, I'm sure that you can vouch for this, that I myself being involved in, like, sports and that, and how it's helped me is that, like, sports, aside from the physicality of it, has a lot of, like, lessons about life, if people really pay attention to it, and just, like, get beyond the point of, like, someone's got to win the game and lose it, you know, and someone's going to beat you or someone's going to lose or how many points you score or whatever.
Right.
If you look at the overall thing of it, there's a lesson about life that I think can be translated into anything that you do, whether it's business, whether you're talking about worship, whether you're talking about how you deal with your family, how you deal with neighbors, guests, the whole nine, right?
Right.
And the thing that I notice a lot, and because my background mostly is like in football and basketball, but the point that I was thinking about was in basketball, a lot of kids that are coming out now are so caught up into individualism.
Yeah, selfishness.
Because the thing that they, the kind of game that they've been exposed to is what they watch on TV, where they have a guy who you know, gets the ball and everybody else goes on the other side of the court and they, you know, go one-on-one and they try to take some, you know, take their defender out and they score a basket and everybody, you know, rants and raves about how good of a move they made. And so they want to do that, you know. For people like us that kind of come from the old school, we're used to having, like, fundamentals and having to practice and work and all these other things and understanding the little things that it takes to be successful, you know, and the kind of efforts and the kind of struggles and things like that that it takes. You know what I mean?
No.
And I think, like, a lot of youngsters, they come up and they just want to have the glory, you know. And I see this in the way that a lot of the youth in our masajid act too. Everybody who's a young guy who's like wanting to be semi-religious or very religious, the first thing they want to do is they want to go overseas and study. You know, why?
Right.
Because they want to become a sheikh,
right?
Why do you want to become a sheikh? Right? Because you see that he's the guy that's behind the mic? Because he's the person who you see everyone looking at
right. And
chasing after? Or because you truly feel like that's your calling, you know? And in my you know, short time that I've been Muslim, I've had a chance to travel overseas and study, and I've learned, you know, a lot of things from that. And I've witnessed by myself, you know, in my own situation as well as with others, how people drop like flies when they get into a situation where they have to start learning about Islam and they realize how serious it is.
Well,
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what's happening is that we're taking our best kids and we making them be doctors, lawyers, and engineers. And we taking our worst kids and sending them to be scholars.
It's not only that, though, bro. I feel you on that.
And plus, another thing, if you, Sheikh Uthaymeen, he said that you have three types of kids. You know, you have the religious kid, you know, then you have the kid that can go one way or another, and then you have the kid that's just, you know, just not even, you know, on just leaving the dean, you know, just almost leaving the dean. And you have to, you know, it's up to the community to change these trends into the people because, you know, they are a product of their community.
Yeah.
And in our community, in the Muslim community, we build these masjids only for the people, the adults, and not for the youth.
That's true.
You know, and we're not building basketball courts. We're not building football fields.
Yep.
We're only making more space, you know, rebuild the sisters' lounge, make it bigger for people can come in and pray. And actually, the thing is we have to build this place so the youth can inherit this.
Yeah.
So in the community, we're not doing all the appropriate things to keep the youth with their life surrounded around the masjid instead of the masjid surrounded around their life.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing I realized, bro, is that, you know, and look, and I started, like, looking at this and noticing it in myself and with others. And then I started looking back at, you know, the example of our predecessors of, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of his companions and those that followed them. And the thing that dawned on me that I didn't really realize for, like, the first several years of you know, me being Muslim is that majority of them were not scholars. You know what I'm saying? They
right.
did different things, but they were all religious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when I mean religious, I don't mean just, like, you know, they talk a good game or whatever. I mean, they were down for God.
They had talk.
You know what I mean? And they weren't, like, yeah. And the thing was, is they weren't trying to show off. They weren't trying to impress anybody. People like Abu Bakr, who was the first leader after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a very wealthy businessman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam equally said about him that in a hadith, he said that if you were to take the faith of Abu Bakr on one side of a scale
and
take the whole ummah of Muhammad on the other side, that his side would weigh more.
Yes.
And this is a man who was a businessman.
Because he had taqwa.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the point.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that a lot of the youngsters, I don't think, get. And as well as the adults, too, is that we don't get that the point is it's not about your position. It's not about whether you're a president or you're a street sweeper. It's not about whether you're a pro athlete. It's not about whether you're some kind of entertainer. It's not about whether you have some kind of, like, business or whatever.
Right.
It's about what's in your heart.
Right.
And that's the thing for people like you and I that affected us in our the reason really why we changed. I mean, it has to do with, like, the difference of changing, like, understanding, like, the oneness of God, but it also has to do with realness. You know,
one thing, Brother Harun, is that, you know, we knew what it was like to be a non-Muslim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So and a lot of the youth grow up into Islam. And they don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as a parent, we taint their heart with these other things.
Yeah.
You know? And we taint their hearts to grow up and to think like this and to be like this. But there's some good Muslim kids out there. But before you go, I want to explain something. Like, even my son grew up to be Muslim. And mm-hmm. around 6 years old, I was showing him something on TV where I was showing him the Eyes on the Prize. It was a civil rights movement
right.
video.
Right.
And I said to myself, you know, and I said, come here, I want to show you something.
Mm.
Right? So he was playing. I said, well, come here, let me show you something. I thought I was going to give him a history lesson.
Right.
And what happened is I said, you see these? This is what the people used to do to us. So he looked at the screen, and I'm saying us by saying African-American, right?
Right.
So I'm going to retain this little innocence. So he said, what you mean us? Those Christians.
SubhanAllah.
You know, so because he never was a Christian. He was Muslim.
Right.
You know, so he said, those Christians, he didn't identify with them. And I said, you're right. He gave me a lesson. You know, so I found out that I had to raise him Islamically. And
right.
I put the other things that I came into Islam with into him. And this is what's happening with a lot of people. They're getting these cultural and these worldly things mixed into their deen, and they cause them to do these different types of action.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, but
Basil, I'm sorry, man. We ran out of time.
Yeah.
We thank you for joining us. May Allah reward you, Akhi. And for our viewers, please join us next time for another episode of From Darkness to Light. Thank you, and assalamu alaikum.
God is the light, everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.